You are listening to TV on the Radio on BFF.fm. I am Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
Good morning. And that was the clean version of Body Was Made by Ezra Furman, because Apple Music is trying to get on my last nerve today and is not functioning well for me.
Censorship.
So if anyone from the Genius Bar is out there listening, I need some technical help. But I'm unable to put together a playlist today out of anything except songs I already have downloaded. But luckily, I have every Ezra Furman song ever. So you guys are going to get treated to an Ezra Furman playlist this morning.
As it should be.
As it should be. Could do worse than to have only Ezra Furman for the rest of our days. But today we're talking about the Netflix show Special.
Yes.
I was tipped off to this show by dearest best friend of the show, yeah, Lee. So thank you, Lee, for bringing the show into my life, because I swore I wasn't going to say this, but it's delightful.
It is delightful. It is.
It's delightful and suited to my ever-shortening attention span. It is 8 episodes that average about 15 minutes each.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was outraged at the one that went to 17. I was like, when is this going to fucking end? This is running over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like all my media easily digestible nowadays.
My brain is ruined.
Yeah, Twitter is to blame for the demise of Western and all civilization, yeah, basically.
yeah. But so Special is written and created and starring Ryan O'Connell. It's heavily autobiographical, about a young man who has mild cerebral palsy and takes the opportunity to let people think that his limp and physical issues are the result of a car accident and not a disability. And hilarity ensues.
Not always, but yeah. No. yeah, that was super fascinating to me to learn that that was truly autobiographical, yeah, from his life, because it just seems so weird.
I think the show did a great job of conveying that, the drive to do that. Another thing I wasn't going to say today is representation matters, but let me just get it out of the way.
But yeah.
You know, he felt defined by his disability and by, you know, suppressing that part of his identity, was able to just be a person who had a limp and not like a guy with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get that. I think the show did a good job of illustrating this sort of paradox of identifying as a disabled person, because people sort of, you know, that becomes your whole identity to,
yeah,
other people. And, you know, to suppress it is to, you know, also is to ignore an important part of your identity,
yeah,
something that shaped you. But I can understand the desire not to want to be defined by a
yeah,
single thing. No one wants to be defined by a single attribute.
Yeah.
And yeah, we don't really see disabled people, not just not in starring roles, but not ever in,
yeah,
television.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought the show did a really great job about, talking to the fact that this is like internalized ableism, and you would think as, mm-hmm, a disabled person that you don't, you know, struggle with that. And yeah, it was really enlightening, and it was funny and
it's
sweet.
Very funny and sweet.
Yeah, I was into it. And as I said, the very short digestible episodes made it. I loved that Ryan O'Connell interview you sent me, where he, mm-hmm, was like, oh, hell no, the like short running time. No, that was not me. Yeah. That was the studio. I hope for season 2, I get to do 30 yeah, minutes.
Mama wants 30 minutes. Is, yeah, what he said. Yeah. He's very funny. His personality, yeah, really came through in this show.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, very quippy, and mm-hmm, his sort of personality is a bit of a contrast with his, he's got, I don't know if this is probably styling for the show, but he's got kind of a nerdy look.
Mm-hmm.
But he's hilarious.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. He does definitely have a less nerdy look in real life.
Yeah.
He's a, yeah, they sort of played up the nerdy look, but also it was regressing to him at a much younger age. Yeah. So maybe back then he had a nerdy look. I don't want to, you know, I certainly don't want anyone going back to me in my early 20s and trying to make that screen accurate, because that
oh,
would,
man.
Yeah, that wouldn't be pretty. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just had a flashback.
let me just go ahead and put it out there right now. I moved to California, decided to go blonde. First foray into going blonde coincided with letting the hairdresser talk me into like cutting my hair short. And I mean, like, I was thinking cute, like pixie short, and it ended up being essentially the fucking haircut that ruined Julia Roberts' career in Hook. It was essentially that, but weirdly chunky blonde. So, yeah, it wasn't a great time for me.
Well, you and Julia Roberts both fought your way back to the top.
That's right. That's right. Here we are. Here we are.
Well, speaking of our physical appearance, why don't we both take our clothes off and say everything that we like about our bodies?
Okay.
Okay. Great.
That's our show, guys.
Yeah, so, sorry, I'm
speaking of internalized ableism, I mean, that's some, yeah.
Ryan O'Connell, also not an actor before this, he revealed in that, we'll tweet out this interview with, I think it was Vulture.
Variety or Vulture, one of the two.
One of the Vs. He was not an actor and essentially acted in this because they didn't have a budget to hire an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like, you know, as you might imagine, kind of an arduous task finding an actor who is disabled, because there are none, because we don't hire any actors who are disabled. But I thought he did a pretty, I mean, he's not, I'll say this, he's not the greatest actor of our generation yet.
Yeah.
But he did a great job. He was very totally delightful. Serviceable. And I think this show really, like, I'm grateful that we're in a time where we need so much content now for every citizen of this planet, that there's room in the world for something like this, which is, you know, slightly rough around the edges. It was clearly low budget.
Yeah.
It was mostly like inside bathrooms that all the scenes took place. And, you know, some of the acting wasn't the greatest, but, you know, the charm still really came through. I was delighted by it.
Yeah, the heart and the intent really did shine through in this. And I was, yeah, you talk about how it wasn't like very high budget or anything. And I know that Netflix is just a content machine, mm-hmm. and there is no way that you can catch up with everything that's current or that's, you know, being made or available on Netflix. But it really is amazing that there is this platform now. I mean, there's no networks going to air this. Like, there is just a space for it now, which is great. Mm-hmm. And there's a space for millions of other stories which we have not seen told, which are getting made and getting aired on Netflix. And thank God for Netflix is what I have to say.
Yeah,
right. I will pay their increased fees happily. Hulu's not getting another fucking cent of my money. I don't give a shit what they do.
Didn't Hulu lower their prices? I feel like I got a notification and I was like, still, fuck off.
Not that I know.
Why don't you, if you're going to lower prices, how about just like get rid of one of the 75 ad breaks in every half hour show?
That are timed on your algorithm and not to coincide with the show, but we digress.
Well, speaking of Netflix versus Hulu, I found myself watching the show for some reason, comparing it to Shrill, which was a Hulu original, another show that is autobiographical, mm-hmm. and in fact based on someone's memoir,
Lindy West.
Yeah, Lindy West,
who's amazing.
She is amazing, but I wasn't in love with Shrill.
Yeah.
And I felt like Special, it's probably unfair that I compare them, but I do feel like they are both telling a true story about someone who is, you know, different from your average leading character in a sitcom. And I feel like I compare them in my mind partly, you know, for the same reason these characters are kind of required to speak for an entire community of people. Mm-hmm. Like, there just aren't that many shows like that. And I think it's interesting that being sort of at the the vanguard of something like that, like being the disabled gay man who's the main character of a show. It's interesting in that you get to build this character that has a whole life and isn't just a token mm-hmm. gay character or person of color who has to end up representing that entire community. But at the same time, because you're like one of the very first, few people yeah. to do it, you are sort of expected. There's a lot of pressure on you to speak yeah. for like a huge number of people's experience when you really can't. You can only tell one person's story.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah, in comparing the two, I do think that this show felt more successful and a little more, I don't know, I guess emotionally honest. I love Lindy West. Mm-hmm. I love her writing. I feel like she has like a very unique, angry, shrill voice mm-hmm. that my biggest complaint with the show Shrill is that did not get conveyed. Exactly. Like there were no teeth to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was taken down for the network a little bit, and to make it, oh, like we're gonna show you somebody have this experience of being proud of being fat, but we're not gonna go all the way with it. And exactly. her behavior, you didn't see really any of the problematic stuff that she has wrestled with in her articles and in her book. You didn't see any of that conveyed. And like the ballsiest thing she did in the whole show then ended up with her going back to like the fucking dickhead boyfriend at the end. And right. it's just like, I mean, I know none of this is linear and yes, it's nice to see it represented, but it didn't have her same voice. And I feel like yeah. this Ryan O'Connell driven vehicle is just, it seems very, very true to who he is.
Yeah.
And yeah, it really, really conveyed that. And I did get a lot more kind of, it felt more kind of progressive to me than Shrill did.
Yeah, it did feel more honest.
Not to discount the fact that many, many people, my Twitter feed was alight with people who were cried for days while watching Shrill just to see, you know, somebody big yeah. in a swimsuit, and that is great, but
I honestly wanted think more. I feel bad, and maybe this is on me, but I feel like Shrill suffered because I know Lindy West's story. I mean, I haven't mm-hmm. read the memoir, but I mm-hmm. you know, I've read her writing, and
yeah.
I did feel like I went into it expecting a more biting character,
yeah,
or something
yeah.
a little I don't know, something a little bolder.
Mm-hmm.
If it were just purely fictional, it was a fine show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah, and I mean, it suffered from stuff like she wrote for The Stranger, right?
Yes.
Like, she's a Seattle person, and they've, for some reason, reset the show in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Dan Savage character was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We're not talking about Shrill today, guys. If you just tuned in, we're talking about
Special. So she had all these black friends in the show, and it's like, why didn't they just keep the show in Seattle, where there are black people? Why put it in Portland?
Where there are not
so many.
There's
no one who's not white in Portland. Anyway, we didn't come in here today to shit on Shrill. Shrill's a perfectly fine show, and you should all go watch it.
After you watch Special, which is shorter,
yeah.
it has that to recommend it.
Something else that's delightful about shows on Netflix is that there isn't, like, you know, it used to be like you watch a show on ABC mm-hmm. and it was tame, it was for mm-hmm. a broad audience, or you watched a show on HBO
yeah.
and it was full porn. Of random
yeah.
sex
yeah.
because it was like, we're on HBO, we yeah. have to put sex in it.
Yeah.
Now you can have a show that's both.
Yeah.
It's got some dad jokes, it's got some, you know, silly plot things,
yeah.
and it's got some very
swearing and some fucking
sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really have to hand it to Ryan O'Connell, like, it's very brave. People talk, you know, actors will say, like, acting's not really an art, you just memorize lines. I think acting is a great art.
Yeah.
I really can be moved by a performance.
Yes.
I think it's very brave to do a lot of the things that actors do. I think it's very brave to do that sex scene.
Yes.
Your first time out acting.
Yeah. That extraordinarily graphic sex scene.
And also very tender and loving.
Yeah.
It's just very unexpected.
Yeah. It was... So Brian, I totally forget his
Brian
name.
Brian something Alvarez.
Yes. Plays a gigolo, sex worker. Let's say. Yeah. Gigolo. yeah, plays a sex worker that Ryan's friend, why can't I remember Kim. Any? Kim. What? She was also delightful, but Ryan's friend Kim hires him a sex worker because he is a virgin in his late 20s, and mm-hmm. she says, this ends today. And I, for one moment, thought it was going to go down a, like, you know, Just Been Kissed or one of those summertime movie, like, rom-com things where they were going to go
I
out.
I was expecting American some sort
Pie, like,
humiliation.
They were going to go to, oh.
You know, that's because I don't know, I feel like that's where it was leading, you know, based on the television conventions that have shaped my thinking. I just thought like, it was going to end in. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
I just thought like, oh, he's going to like try to hire a prostitute and then learn a lesson about how that's bad or something. But it turned out to be very sex positive and not shaming on sex workers at all.
Yeah.
It was great.
As it shouldn't be. And exactly. That Brian Alvarez, what's his name? He is a star.
I've been raving about Special for 18 minutes now, and the greatest thing it has given me is what's his name, I should it's in my notes here, Brian Jordan Alvarez, who has a YouTube series that maybe I'm the last person to know about called The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Did you watch any of it? Amazing. I watched the first episode and then part of the second episode.
I was just like, it's so weird and like oddly paced. I just sat there and it felt like it was washing over
me. It does. It just washes amazing. Over you. It also features Freckle, who.
Oh my God. Do we know
longtime friend of good friend of the show, Busy Phillips.
Oh, really?
Longtime friend. So I am intimately familiar with Freckle from Busy Phillips' Instagram stories.
Oh, really?
And
I mean, talk about a star.
Different things that Busy posts about Freckle. Or, yeah, clips of Freckles. And, yeah, magnetic. Like, sheerly, just straight up magnetic. And I felt the same thing about... Special was my introduction to Brian Justin Alvarez mm-hmm. also. And he absolutely commanded that scene in, like, a very tender, very sweet, very... non-judgmental is the word that Ryan O'Connell used in the interview. Way. And it was just, it was seriously touching. And it was also really touching that this whole thing was a transaction and it was sweet and everything. And then it ends with Ryan O'Connell going home and his mom being like, oh, you look different. Your shirt's different or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was like, who doesn't love a hooker with a heart of gold? And that's it. Like, I was delighted that that sex worker wasn't a recurring character. I was delighted that nobody fucking caught feelings. There was no, like, bigger lesson to be learned.
Right.
Like, it was a transactional positive experience. And, it's so rare to see that depicted. And especially to see graphic gay sex done in a non-porny way.
Yeah.
Like, this was very, like, he was a virgin and he has CP and it's groundbreaking. I mean, representation matters. That truly, like, there is somebody in Ohio who is struggling with being gay mm-hmm. and struggling with some type of disability. And for them to see that, like, all these things are possible is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that what's possible is hiring a sex worker in LA at some point. But, I mean, to see a depiction of, you know, acceptance and...
And Ryan O'Connell talked about how he, like, depicting gay sex is important to him because mm-hmm. there are every depiction of gay sex in media is pornographic mm-hmm. or, you know.
Or he specifically called out Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, right.
Where they pan away to the moon. He said, like, we got more fruit sex in that movie than, like, actual gay sex.
That's true. That's a good point. It feels like an exciting time to watch television, you know, mm-hmm. because we're a generation whose expectations are shaped by longstanding conventions. And this is the moment where when someone breaks that convention, it can be, you know, shocking and exciting. And I don't know, maybe in 20 years, television's just going to, who fucking knows what it's going to be like, but
I mean, everyone's going to have a show, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, not trying to be facetious. I feel like that's essentially where, like, social media is leading up to that, right? Yeah. Like, everyone already has their curated life. And not everybody has something to say. But that's sort of the way media is being consumed now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching something while I'm scrolling through my phone, while I'm, like, finding out something else about someone else. But I do think that the advent of Netflix is, like, they're this giant fucking corporation with boatloads and boatloads of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe they're not all evil. Maybe they're evil. Somebody tell me that they're evil. I'm sure they are. They're problematic somehow. They're but
they don't pay taxes or some shit like that. But that's not their fault. That's the government's fault.
Neither does anyone else. I mean, any other big companies. Facebook doesn't pay taxes and they ruined everything. But I do feel that just, like, having someplace that's a legitimate, like, so that's the thing. This is not a YouTube Red or, you know, this is, like, this is the new way to consume media. But Netflix is at the forefront of being a legitimate way to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this show, Caleb Gallo, is on, it has been on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has an audience and everything, but it's something that you're like, oh, it's like quirky and weird and would never get, like, really aired. And now it's refreshing to see that there's limitless space. Just back everything up into the fucking Netflix warehouse, guys. There's, like, truckloads of money waiting for you to make your show, you know? It's kind of refreshing.
And yet here we are with no Netflix show. We give you guys ideas every week. We put them out there.
I can churn them out, guys. I mean, I can't do the actual work to produce anything, but, you know, I'll give you an idea. Come on. I'll just load me up to your Netflix table. No, but I do think that episode in particular was really powerful and really nice. And it was lovely to see it just defy all expectations and be a graphic depiction of gay sex. And also to be, a sex positive sex worker experience.
No shaming anyone for anything. Okay, let's go to a song. And when we come back, you guessed it, we're going to talk more about Special. This is apropos.
Penetrate my body, penetrate my mind. Penetrate to the center, leave the rest of it behind. Burn away all the excess that no longer applies. I've been changed, my Lord, I've been changed. Cold cup of coffee at a quarter to five. Spits your blood in the toilet when you watch the big sunrise. Better learn how to run now that there's nowhere to hide. Happy day, oh happy. The boys and the girls learn to penetrate so young. And the men and the women hit the town and have their fun. And when they all hear my record, they will know what I have done. I've been changed, my Lord, I've been changed. Penetrate my country, penetrate my home. Run away in the nighttime to the ocean white with foam. Sail away on the ocean, meet your maker on your own. Happy day, oh happy day.
Welcome back to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. Where if you just are just joining us, we're talking Netflix's Special. Any standout co-stars for you?
Oh, they were all standouts. I thought the whole thing was great. Kim. I love Kim. I do not remember her name.
I think it's Poonam Patel.
Maybe. I think it's Patel. She was fucking delightful.
She was great.
She was, yeah, she was awesome. She was real ride or die from day one. Mm-hmm. And you gotta love that in somebody. And yeah, I thought Brian Jordan Alvarez was...
Stole the scene.
Stole many scenes. Like, every scene he was in. He was, like, sweet and tender and has the most alluring eyes I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, his eyes... There's something about his face that's very, like... He's Happy Valley or Uncanny Valley ish.
Handsome, mm-hmm. but then he has like a smoldering kind penetrating, of like smile that mm-hmm, is just mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Extremely disarming.
Yeah. Susan Hecht or Jessica Hecht, whoever.
Forever Susan from Friends.
Yes,
I think I've seen her in like 25 things, but every time I'm like, isn't that Susan from Friends?
The entire time I'm like, how do I know this bitch?
Oh, really?
How do I know this bitch? I don't know why I don't just Google these people while I'm watching something. Because
you're looking at Instagram.
Because I'm busy railing at the fact that one episode went to 17 minutes. How dare they? I need you to clock in under 15 each time. She was great. There's an entire... A lot of the story... So it's very funny, but it also focuses on... Girls are mumsy and they mm-hmm. have like a very close... interconnected weirdly not weirdly at all actually very understandably yeah. codependent relationship.
I thought it was a very good like nuanced depiction of mm-hmm. that because they were both the codependency was very palpable but mm-hmm. like they both went back and forth on where they were with that.
Yeah, and also I feel like the thing that was portrayed in this that's not always portrayed in shows where they're trying to show codependency is that they were both aware of it mm-hmm. kind of at all times. Like the mom was like, you can't move out. And then she was like, no, you can move out. Let me find you an apartment. Yeah. And then, you know, and there's the whole thing with creepy neighbor Phil that she starts dating.
Mm-hmm. Harry having from sex Better with. Call Saul.
Yes, also could not figure out who guy was. I was just like, he's a bad guy in something. I never really got a grip on whether Harry was a bad guy.
I think he was not really.
Chaotic. He was chaotic neutral. He was chaotic neutral.
I think he was supposed to be enigmatic.
Yeah. He was that.
I guarantee that listener Steven is tweeting at me right now because I think he has strong opinions about Harry from Better Call Saul.
Do you feel he's chaotic good and not chaotic neutral, Steven? anyway, yeah, also couldn't peg him the whole time. But yeah, I like that they were both kind of aware of it and fighting against it at different times and then, you know, falling back into old patterns. And yeah, I mean, yeah. The true human nightmare is having to call someone to unclog your toilet. So
that more than the very raw sex scene, the not graphic toilet unclogging, just the talking about it.
Yeah.
I had to go put my pearls on so I could clutch that.
Yeah.
I mean, a show that takes the unblinking gaze at
so I was thinking
human reality is more than I can handle.
I was thinking about the fact that if I was disabled and I hadn't had a bathroom incident and needed somebody's help, mm-hmm. I would just take the very logical next step of ghosting on my apartment and just finding starting a new life somewhere else. I mean, I would just that's it. It's over for you, hoes. I'm out of there. I would not call anyone to unclog my toilet. Not a Same. Professional, not like nobody. Nobody. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It's dark. I also love the boss of Egg Woke, Olivia, yes. who was a small character and cartoonishly awful, but mm-hmm. I really liked what that actress did with
yeah.
it. It was like there's something a little bit different and quirky about her. I LOL'd it. I just took a strawberry Guanapin wafer and I'm radiating with rage.
Yeah. I also like how her birthday cake looked funereal and then had the nutrition facts on it. And then she blew it out and sniffed the smoke and said, thank you all for coming. And threw it in the bin. Yeah, she was delightful. And she was also the one that got real with it. It's mm-hmm. interesting because you were so used to seeing that, like, oh, the person who rose to the top with no talent or skill or discernible anything. Mm-hmm. And then you see her be able to cut through to like what needs to happen. You know, like yeah. she has a real understanding. And also her grocery list made me LOL. Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Cigarette. Everything was egg. It was like she's sitting there just staring blankly, dictating this grocery list, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, then like it cut through to she tried to set him up with her cousin who was deaf and mm-hmm. he was affronted by that. And
yeah, what a dick.
Yeah, he was a dick throughout the show, basically. And there wasn't really any. The other thing I liked about this show is that it ended without any clear resolution on yeah. anything. There's a somewhat tangled like love triangle. That his crush is in a relationship mm-hmm. with a guy.
Yeah, they left everything.
With a gym dude. Everything was unresolved.
Yeah, with his mom and creepy neighbor Phil. And yeah. Like, yeah, it's. I feel like
poor every Kim show being now, broke and in debt.
Even if they leave things unresolved, they try to wrap something up. So if it just ends up being yeah. one season, it feels like it has some resolution. And this show is like, nope.
Yep.
You better give me a second season yeah. if you want to see what happens.
Yeah, the other thing I love is that he was. So he was an intern, an unpaid mm-hmm. intern, I take it. And then he had I guess he did get hired at the end.
Yeah.
But he had the highest, you know, the highest.
The most clicks.
The most clicks ever story. In Egg Woke history for his story about, mm-hmm. You know, how getting hit by a car was fucking awesome. But yeah, it didn't pander. It really just yeah. was its own thing. And can we talk about how it owes its genesis sort of to Jim Parsons? Do we have to like him now?
Yeah. Okay. So Jim Parsons, I guess, was the one who.
I mean, I guess a lot.
This it was, memoir,
yeah.
And I was thinking, like, oh, do I have to be nice about Jim Parsons now because I hate him? And then, well, I'm like, why do I hate him?
Yeah, because he's on The Big Bang Theory. That's why everybody hates him.
I hate that show so much. I have not watched one fucking minute of it.
Oh,
what
really?
What is wrong with me? Not a single second.
Oh, I hate that show so much.
Okay, good. Then I can still hate it.
Many fucking hours of it. many hours of it because it's on that Friends 6 p.m. slot or whatever, 7 p.m. And I've watched a lot of that show. I think his character Sheldon is detestable and it's truly fucking abhorrent that there is a young Sheldon spinoff. But
yeah, let's make a show about a kid you want to punch in the face.
But it yeah, but it sounds like Jim Parsons himself is like, so he and his husband optioned this based, they read Ryan O'Connell's article, mm-hmm. they optioned his novel.
It's a memoir.
His memoir, sorry, not novel. They optioned his memoir and then held on to this for years to get it made.
Oh, really?
Years and years and years. And, like, would not let it get watered down. They like, apparently really stuck to his guns and was, Ryan O'Connell considers him a real mentor. And mm-hmm. he said something that was kind of, that did kind of flip my thinking about Jim Parsons, where he was like, you're like a superhero, like you're an openly gay actor who's like America's number one liked character, mm-hmm. you know? And it's, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of JVN, Getting Curious with JVN this mm-hmm. week. And I think it is kind of like, yeah, maybe Jim Parsons is a fucking superhero. Like he's just quietly doing the work of getting all this like sort of,
yeah,
progressive shit done while he's, and also he's living his life in a very out way and like making gayness palatable to people who like Big Bang Theory, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Fine. I was just like, all right. Fine. Yeah, maybe Jim Parsons is cool. Maybe I can get down with him.
Okay. Forgive me if this is offensive. Are Is there a character on Big Bang Theory who's disabled or like on the autism spectrum?
Yes, there okay. is.
And they acknowledge it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're all essentially on the autism spectrum. But yeah, there's a few different. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
fine. I'm not all caught up, but.
Well, with Jim Parsons behind this, who isn't he the highest paid actor on television yes, right he is. Now? Couldn't yeah. have shelled out a couple bucks for like a set that has furniture on it or like one outdoor scene.
I don't know.
Was low budge. Every prop was product placement. Yeah. I now have Aesop soap in my bathroom and I'm going to order
it costs
some
$40.
Macabre ripoffs from Wayfair.com this afternoon.
Great. So, yeah.
It's funny. I mean, it's so. It just really jumps out at me when something is obvious product placement. Like the Windows tablets they use
oh,
in the
yeah.
office and they prominently show yeah. like the screen coming off.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, we fucking get it.
Yeah.
So when we finally get our Netflix sitcom, which 75 consumer brands are going to sponsor us.
Oh.
I think our show is about two very human, relatable women facing problems that everyone can relate to, but they drive Porsches and
sure
yeah wear Prada exclusively.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the things I loved about this show actually is so Kim his best friend is uh-huh. she wears like DVF and she's very fat was it DVF mm-hmm. I don't yeah. know, she's very fashionable and she takes him out to lunch and she pays and she's like, oh, sweetie, you're like an unpaid intern. And mm-hmm. like, it turns out that all these people are working for like $2 an article, essentially. Yeah. And she's like up to debt, you know, up to her neck in debt.
Yeah.
And Ryan O'Connell was talking about how that was his exact experience of like, you're literally in the like emotion lines digging for like something that will get yeah. enough clicks, like something harrowing enough to get enough clicks to buy you a Metro card or whatever, you yeah. know, like it's yeah it's
yeah and she explained that, you know, she's a woman of color mm-hmm. and she's a bigger person mm-hmm. and so she feels like she has to dress in a certain way and look a certain way to be accepted because people look at you and they see, you know, they read these signals of like you're one of us if you're
yeah.
wearing a designer dress. And yeah, that really I liked that. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you can see how, as a, you know, writing the show, I could see how someone like him, Ryan O'Connell, like he lived in New York and like worked for Vice and stuff. I could totally see him like trying to, style himself in a way that signals like, no, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can tell that I'm okay by my shirt.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that I liked. Again, we've mentioned how, like, absolutely nothing was wrapped up. And, like, there was no payday. There yeah. was no, like, oh, I have a settlement. And so, like, I can help you out with that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And,
like, all the things that would have been, like, on a very special,
mm-hmm.
Were glossed over. Like, the mom talked, you know, he wants to move out. And the mom is, like, you know, I'm the one who sued the hospital and got you all that money. And
yeah.
like, it's neatly explained in a way that's, and it's never addressed again. It's never like,
yeah.
it's not like he's rich, but like he has, you know, something yeah. to be able to do all this with. And yeah, that guy's fascinating. It's mm-hmm. pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I was reading some of his Vice columns yesterday and he's a really good writer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it reminded me of how Vice was just trash.
I used to be funny.
Yeah. But yeah, he's a good writer.
And he ended up being a staff writer for Awkward on MTV, which MTV
is. What is that show about?
It's about like teens. It's a high school high school drama.
Oh, it's a drama.
Yeah.
Is it good?
I think it's according. Yeah. Oh. Looking at the previews, it looks pretty good. But I just feel like MTV teen drama is a good place for him to land. Or
yeah.
for him to have landed from Vice. That seems like a good step
That's
for him.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Going back to his relationship with his mom, some of the ways she talked about him were, like, hurtful. And, mm-hmm. like, you know, she said something like that would be hard even for a normal person.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
she used a lot of language that was, like, that I you would think she would be more sensitive about having mm-hmm. raised a differently abled man. But I kind of like that they left that in there, because he talked about how, I think it was in that interview, he talked about how, you know, the shit people say to him mm-hmm. is just so rude. And yeah. he's at some point stopped noticing it. Like, he was with a friend in a taxi.
His boyfriend of 4 years.
Okay. And the driver turned around and just said, "What's wrong with you?"
Yeah.
And his boyfriend was shocked.
Yeah.
And for him, it didn't even register, because he was so used to hearing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I liked that they, like, left some of that language in, but, like, didn't address it. Like, you can't talk to me that way.
Or, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because it's just kind of part of his reality.
Yeah, well, and at the end, it ends with her, like, blowing up and saying, like, something about, like, you were a burden, or like, I regret mm-hmm. something. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I do feel like that is probably the experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's true that somebody who has raised, like, I don't know, it's like people with gay children who are like, oh, I accept him. It's just like a different choice. You know, like, they don't, you right. don't really get it. Like, that's one of the things that the show was explaining, is that, like, you can never live someone else's experience, so you're never going to get it. Mm-hmm. And so I can see how the mom is like, that'd be hard even for, like, a normal person. And yeah. and because you do view them as other, even if you're... Right. the person who, like, shaped them and raised them and drove them to all their appointments mm-hmm. and sat through multiple surgeries with them and all of that, you know, it does still, it's, that's how deeply entrenched it all is, that yeah. like, you are seen as other because you have a disability, which yeah. is why it would be refreshing, I guess, to say, no, I don't have a disability. It was an accident. That could happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The show did an amazing job of, it's interesting, like, as an identity issue, disability is complicated because you're marginalized for something that is at once, like, part of your identity.
Yeah, intrinsic.
But it's not like race, where it's just a historic, like, toxic history that has somehow decided that, you know, your race should be discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that, you know, does make your life more difficult mm-hmm. on an objective basis, but it's also part of your identity and something that, you know, you want to let it be part of your identity and not suppress it, that, you know, it's still a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that articulate?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. What's your thing that you would, like, lie about and say, like, oh no, this is just,
I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
Whatever. God, I don't know. I'm just so perfect. What would I suppress about myself?
I know.
I don't know. What's your thing? What's your think piece that would go viral but also get you canceled?
Oh, I feel like anything I wrote would get me canceled immediately. So it's hard to. Yeah, I don't know. I could really write a screed about. I've gone on the air about this before, about how the Irish national pastime isn't hospitality, it's begrudgery, and I feel like I could get a lot of angry, drunk Irish people going on that one.
I like that. Accusing.
Because the Irish people never.
Begrudgery is what you think's going to get you canceled when you casually refer to them as drunk.
I mean, I'm just saying that they never get angry until they're drunk.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. Like, other than that, but they wouldn't give a fuck. But, yeah.
Mine would be, real women have angles. How yeah. I came to love my swastika tattoo.
There you go. There you go.
Vice, hire me.
Yeah. Vice, talk to me about my infanticide when I... when I carried a baby for 10 months and then looked at it in a towel and or wrapped it in a beautiful blanket and said, should I kill this baby?
Yeah. Okay, well, on that note, what else? Oh, how do I become a retired fireman? They made that profession
oh, just
look
be a fireman
great.
And then retire.
See, I was hoping I could get out of
nope,
that part.
That's the hard part. You gotta do it for a few minutes.
I
think you can retire like 2 years into it with full bit. Like,
I know.
You do pretty well.
This is a show about semi-privileged people in LA that didn't make LA look romantic at all.
Yes.
But I think that was a budgetary issue. But it was like the most bland setting imaginable.
Yeah, but that's LA. I know. That's LA. Like, that is LA unless you live in a house in Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, that's LA. Absolutely true.
And I think that, yeah, it's all boxy fucking shitty apartments and driving in your busted Corolla and all of it. I think it's, yeah, I think like Caleb Gallo, the Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, does a really great job of that too. It's all like out of the box apartments, going to like medium level places to eat, right. Like all of that. Yeah, it just seems real LA.
Yeah,
LA is a wounded place, I feel.
Yeah, it seems hard.
Yeah.
My friend who lives there said that it's a good place to live, but it takes like 2 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I
was like, that's a real steep curve. Like, I think 2 years is fast to figure it out.
Yeah. So when are we going to move there?
Any day now. Any day now. Yeah.
Give us a call.
LA. Call me, LA. I'm waiting for your call.
All right. I just want to go home and watch the rest of Caleb Gallo now.
It's delightful. That is also worth a watch.
Yeah, I'm going to watch everything that Brian Jordan Alvarez has done, which might just be that show, but God, it's so good.
He and his penetrating eyes, man, it really, really impacted me.
Yeah.
So you asked me a question in your outline about Harry from Better Call Saul, creepy neighbor Phil, who turns out not to be creepy, but like overly familiar neighbor Phil, who comes and asks her out immediately and then proceeds to sex her up for the first time in however many years, for many days. You asked me, would I hit it? And the answer is no.
Really?
I am immediately distrustful. Like, I was waiting for the grifter angle the entire time. Like,
do you think you're colored by his...
By my history of Lifetime movies? Yeah, I think so.
I was going to say my Better Call Saul. But
no, because yeah, I couldn't peg where he was from. Okay. I think it's, but I do think it's like, I am immediately suspicious of someone who's like instantly into you and like just wants to make you a grilled cheese when they get you high and like all of that. I'm like, what's your fucking angle? What? I mean, my poor husband has endured 14 years and I'm still like, where is this coming from? Slow it down. You're married and have
what
a child.
What do you want?
Yeah, I'm like, what's your angle here? I don't know. You're going to have to work a little bit harder.
All right, fair enough.
How about you? How did you feel about him?
I was kind of surprised. I was a little bit into him, but...
I did love that denim jacket.
Jacket was... he looked really hot when he was lighting the joint.
He did, for some reason.
I think maybe it was the contrast between Harry from Better Call Saul is very stiff and odd.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he like just sort of was wearing a denim jacket and lighting a joint, I was like, wait a minute.
And when he called it nighttime medicine. Cool. That's my nighttime medicine. Ew. Do you have any complaints about this show? I had one complaint.
What is it?
Which again says more about me than anything else, but Ryan O'Connell, as you mentioned, sort of has like a nerdy aesthetic in this show. I had a real problem with the fact that everybody was into him. Like,
oh yeah.
I also, let it never be said that when we get our Netflix show, it's not just going to be about a parade of men that we are attracted to making out with us on screen.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we learned from the best one, Miss Mindy Kaling, in that regard. But, I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like, LA is so looks obsessed.
Yeah.
And I feel like the super hot guy who has a super hot boyfriend is not necessarily, like, they didn't do enough to establish that Ryan's not enough of a dick for somebody to be into him for his personality.
Yeah.
And I am not saying that Ryan O'Connell is not a handsome man, but he is not LA.
It's not a head-turner.
Gay scene handsome. Yeah. And all of the men that were interested in him were LA gay scene men. Like, at the pool party, that guy that he was talking to on, like, Grindr or whatever was super hot.
It's funny that they could name drop Grindr, but then when she's driving for a car they have to call it Rhodesy instead of just saying she drives for Lyft.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was my only...
Yeah.
And that is not a true beef. I mean,
I feel like, I mean, it was a little unrealistic, but I feel like it's fine to tell a story, you know, that's not all about humiliation and rejection, because, you know, he gets to be a person who sometimes someone's attracted to him.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it would have been better if it were a 30-minute show and they could have, you know, fleshed out the interactions with other people a little bit more. But we only have like 14 minutes.
Yeah,
so it's like,
true.
If he's going to go on a date with someone, they need to just like get down to it.
Do they need to make him super hot, though, is my point.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they don't have a budget for a real actor, but they have a budget for like 2 tens to be his love interest. I see you, Ryan O'Connell. I see you.
I said, get it, girl.
Yeah, that's like I said, I am going on the record now that when we get our show and we're not even starring in it, we are going to be making out with everybody who's on the scene.
We're not.
That's in your contract, Noah Centineo. Not really.
Yeah, there might be some casting couch
for our show. Ew, gross, Jess. No.
Well, how are we going to make out with anyone if we're not starring in it?
It's in their contract. They have to make out with us. We're the writers.
That's worse than a casting couch.
Yeah. That's why they only have to make out. That's why they only have to make out with us. I'm not asking anyone to look at my non-Hollywood body. Yet.
All right. Well, anything else?
I guess that's how Harvey Weinstein started, though, right? Yeah, if Harvey Weinstein can get everybody to make out with him and he's not starring in anything, we can too.
I think he's going to jail.
Fair enough.
I think we need to learn from his, Anyway, on that note, where we are actively...
So maybe this is my think piece. Maybe this is my think piece that gets me canceled. Writers should be made out with by every star in their show. All of them. June Diane Raphael, Jason Mantzoukas, all of them. That's who I'm casting in my show, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And Andrea Savage, all those people.
All right, well, you guys heard it here.
And Noah Centineo, because he has to be in everything Netflix makes, apparently.
Boy, oh boy. I have some stuff to say about him. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening.
Tune into Special on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear. We would both recommend it.
Yeah, I was into it. Well, and also, it's going to take, what, like an hour of your time, tops?
Yeah, like maybe 2 hours total.
You got that. You got 2 hours to sit around.
Yeah. Stop looking at your phone for 2 fucking hours and watch television.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll do one more Ezra Furman song.
Ezra Furman playing tonight at Slim's, by the way.
Yeah, you guys should come out. We're going to be there.
Yep.
Do a meet and greet.
Gonna be making out with Ezra Furman at Slim's tonight. I don't know if Ezra knows that yet, but
but he will. All right, thanks for listening, you guys. Tune in next week for more TV on the Radio, and stay tuned for Indie Rock Girl Radio. Passing train, I watch your yellow windows. I couldn't see your face.